for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, September the 3rd, 2011. Richard Tate is the speaker of this service, sharing his personal testimony.
Praise the Lord. There was a man one time visiting some people, and a young convert that he was visiting, and he was pretty enthusiastic about the Lord, and they began just to seek God just in the living room, and man, the glory of God came down, and he looked over, and his young friend was doing this, and he says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" He says, "It's so powerful in here, you can plug in anywhere." I tell you, I feel like we've been plugging in here. But I agree with Louise. We maybe ain't even halfway there where he wants to take us. I'm telling you, he wants to take us some places. We had a little church out in California, and we didn't do a lot of preaching. We did a lot of praying. We had people who would come. They wouldn't stay very long because you're on your knees or your face most of the time, and it got kind of tiring for a lot of them. And it got time for us sometimes. But God taught us that if you're going to get anywhere, you've got to press through. You're going to hit a wall, but you've got to press through it. You've got to give Him room to move in you. You hear Sister Ada will say this. We just need somebody who can pray God's prayer. Got to pray His prayer, not ours. We pray. I'm a straight shooter, pretty much. We pray in hope. You know, we do things and say things and nothing happens. Now, that's fine. But when you get His prayer, things happen. When He gives you a prayer, it's going to happen. Nobody can stop it. Nothing can stop it. I don't know what I'm going to say because I just, you know, they should just tell me 20 minutes early. Thank you, Kevin. You know, because the longer they give me, the more I sweat and bleed. You know, and usually, and if people know here, usually around 4 o'clock on Sunday morning, if I'm speaking Sunday, God will begin to give me something. Although I've already got things figured out, then He'll begin to do something. Well, and I was in the song service, and I was writing, and I was singing, "God, help me." I don't know where we're going, but we'll see. All I know is that we're in a dangerous day. It's dangerous for people who know the book and don't know the author. That's critical. Critical. Knew a young man one time. He was a young man, he's not now, but he could pretty much quote the Bible upside down. I mean, it was scary how he could quote things. He didn't have a clue who the author was. He was more legalistic than me. He was religious to the max. I mean, just, man, he was, but when it got down to talking about any kind of personal experience, he'd just quote your scriptures. "Well, God's this way. This is what God said." I said, "Well, what's He saying to you?" "Well, right here it is, you know." And I thought, man, God help me. I tried to go to Bible college, and I mean, I tried. I was enrolled. And I told my future wife, and I told her, I said, "I'm going to go to Bible college. And I'm ready to go. I'm already plugged in." And she said, "Where are you going to go?" And I told her, she said, "Well, I wouldn't be going there." And I thought, thanks a lot, lady, you know. I thought we were friends, but it doesn't look like she. But there's a camp meeting down there in Santa Cruz where Don went to Bible college. She says, "I think you might try to go down there and you might see something." So, and I was ready. And funny, I was at my job, I was at the bottom of the bottom. But this week, nobody was up, and they said, "Okay." And I went down there, and man, I'll tell you, I was so green, it was scary. They were singing the Psalms, and I was saying, "Do you got scriptures for this stuff?" And he just looked at me like, "What planet are you on?" You know, I don't know. I'm just trying to find out. You got scripture for all this stuff you're doing? I wasn't the only one there doing it. There was a real top evangelist that had a big church. He was there doing the same thing. But he wasn't checking out the stuff I was. He was checking out the real stuff. Wanted to know if it was really God, this charismatic movement, this singing in the Spirit and releasing yourself to God, if this could really be God. Or was the old Pentecostal way enough? Was that all there was? And it changed my life. I mean, literally changed my life. It cost me friends and family and everything. When I got back, I went back to my church and I'm just bubbling and I might as well have been speaking in tongues. Because the only one who understood what I was talking about was Mara, was my future wife. She's the only one who understood what I was talking about. So obviously I didn't last long in the church. And I didn't last long single either. You know, that's a wonderful thing. And we talk about loving Jesus. Well, I'm just going to shoot from the hip. We talk about loving Jesus. You know, I found out in real love stories, we were talking about that, Carla and I were talking about that. The real love stories are the people who were friends and fell in love. That's the people who really had, to me, really had the real deal. Because I know that bubbly stuff, even if you're friends, it wears off. Let me tell you, it gets thin, boy. And you better have something better than goosebumps to deal with those things. Because they are out there waiting for you. And that was the thing about Carla was telling me about her and Mike. And that was how Mara and I were. We were friends. In fact, she was the only one that had a clue what I was talking about half the time. You know, And then the Lord spoke to her and told her that she was going to marry me. And it took her 2 weeks to get over that one. And this, I'm not kidding. This fasting and praying, she said, you can't do this to me. You cannot. I've been waiting all these years. I'm still chaste. And this guy, and my wife's Polynesian. She's Samoan, American Samoa. And she says, he ain't even Samoan. And God said, but you prayed for a man of my choosing. Yeah, I did, but, you know. And he's too short, you know. And he glows, you know, and all these things he had. And there was some other things. And I just shoot it out there. I'd been married before. I got married when I was 21, I guess. I got married because I was taught that's what you do. You know, I wasn't in love. I had a girlfriend, but I still got married just on a whim. And my girlfriend didn't care for that much when I told her I just got married. But it didn't mean anything to me. It really didn't. Because I was in rebellion, total rebellion, total self-destruction. I was trying to find somebody to kill me. I wouldn't do it myself because I don't believe in that. But I was looking for somebody that could do it for me. And I know none of you people are self-destructive, but I was. I got into everything there was, but religion. Because 12 years or 10 years, whatever, earlier I'd gotten saved for real. I got the real deal. And the real deal was they get filled with the Holy Ghost and wait for Jesus to come. That was the real deal. Speak in tongues once and you got it and you're in. And that was in. Do the best you can and bull your way through because that's how you get return God. And I had a problem with a young, with older than me, man, and I was on fire, and we got in the scriptures, and he confused me, and I got mad. You know, it's a wonder how we do that. We have a problem with people, and we take it out on Jesus. We punish him. We don't leave the people. We might leave the people, but we leave him. I got a sister in California right now. I just heard last week. She's having a hard time breathing, a hard time walking. And found out that she's in the late stage, advanced stage lung cancer. And backslidden. This girl was 16 years old when she got saved, right after I did. And she took a stand in school. I was already out of school. She took a stand. And she's Carey Bible School. It's a little town in Oregon. And used to be conservative in those days. And she carried her Bible, and when study hall was there, if she didn't have anything she had to study, she read her Bible. Well, they expelled her. They kicked her out because of that. And she's a pretty feisty little thing. And so she wrote the Salem, Oregon Statesman paper, a letter to the editor, and just wrote it all down. 16 years old, this is what they did to me. This is what I was doing. This is what they did to me. And you know something? The only people who would take her in were the Catholics. Nobody else. Her own church. Got on our case about it. You know, you shouldn't do that. You're bringing a bad thing against the church and making us look bad. But the Catholics told her, you can come over to our school And we will pay for it. It won't cost you anything. And you won't have to take any of our religious classes. And she went there for 2 years. Then graduated from there. By the time I was long gone. Really gone. But she backslid. She backslid. And here's what she backslid on. I mean, the end deal. She was seeking the Holy Ghost. I mean, with all her heart. And she wasn't getting it. And here's what they told her. Because, sister, you've got sin in your life. And after about 8 months of that, she just finally just walked away. And when she walked away from the church, she walked away from Jesus. She prays to God every day. But she doesn't much care about the name of Jesus because she associates it with those things that she went through. And I thought, how sad, you know. What we do, you know, we wound them. And then we dump them. You know, we hear that all the time about, you know, we're the only ones that shoot our wounded. But we wound them first, mostly. You know, it's pretty much us. Not too many of them are getting really hammered. They get hammered, but you can take it from the world. You figure they're in the world. But when it's your own brothers and sisters, how many of you know when you get saved, you get problems with people who aren't saved? How many know when you get saved, you get problems with people with your family? How many know when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get problems with people who are saved? I mean, every time you move on, you know, it's a big old sign. How much is this going to cost me? Because salvation's free, and I'll tell you truthfully, that's the end of the free stuff. There ain't no more free stuff. And I'm being straight. It's not, there ain't nothing free. What did Jesus say? Count the cost. And I said, read right by that one there, you know. I want Isaiah's ministry, but I don't want his problems, you know. But God's trying to do something now. Listen, we're in a day, there's generations wish they could live when you're living now. Believe it, I really believe it. I believe that some of that 12 had their choice to live then, after Jesus left, and live now when it ends up. From what they said about the end, they'd love to be in here. They'd love to be here and wrap this thing up. Man, they were just starting out, and they didn't know. They were telling Jesus, are we getting ready to restore the kingdom? How? Well, let's get going. He said, well, might be a while, you know. But this is a time when, you know, I mean, every generation says, you know, the Antichrist is coming and it's all over. But I said, we got to be close because if we don't, we're going to blow ourselves up. It's all going to be over because we can now do it. And I think, and more people are getting the materials to do it with. And some of them would do it just to do it. That guy over there in Iran, I mean, he's looking for that Armageddon. Because he thinks that's when what's his name? What's that guy's name? They all worship Muhammad, whatever it is. They think he's going to come back. He can't come back to Armageddon. So he's all for firing up and let's all blow it up because he's going to come back. I thought, well, okay, but it may not be too good before then. It's a good day to know the Lord. And if you don't know him, and I'm just saying this, you know, if you don't know him, it's a good day to kind of get introduced to him. It really is. I love this Bible. Okay. But it ain't my God. I had a man raise it up one time and told me, it's Jesus. I said, you must be joking. I said, you've got to be out of your mind. Why? I said, because John said, these are some of the words that he spoke. And there ain't books enough for all the stuff he wrote. I said, he's a lot bigger than this. I said, he's personal. And I said, that's the problem. We want to deal with a book and do do's and don'ts. And he said, no. I want to let my Holy Ghost on you, and I want to deal with why you're doing what you're doing. I want to deal with why you do your good deeds. When you're doing that money, why do you do it? I want to get at your motives, at your roots. I want to change you, not your style. We're in a day when we have to be close to him. We've got to be walking with him. Oh, we're wasting our time. I mean, really. In Annie's visions over there, we have book 3 and 4 over there, and I'm trying to get through to get all of them. But she saw a time when the church ascended. It was like a big, almost like an earth, went up. And she said she was amazed because on the way up, great chunks of it fell off. Fell right back down. And she said, Lord, why is this? They didn't really belong. They were attached to it, and during their time there, you couldn't tell the difference, kind of like the wheat and the tares. You couldn't really tell the difference unless you really knew. But they didn't belong. Gravity pulled them back where they belong. They belong to the earth. He's going to have a bride. He's going to have a bride. And we're all in it. But we've got to put one foot in front of the other. We've got to keep going. Listen, this is a great day to know the voice of the Lord. I'll tell you, it's not a great day to be thinking I might move over there, I might go here and do this. It's a great day to know from Him. When He tells you to go somewhere, man, pack it up and go.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, one time He dealt with me. He has His habit. I never got those things where He patted me and told me how good I was doing. He did a program on me one time. It shouldn't be legal. He said this. For all these years, we've been operating, him and I have been operating on this program to where the door's open, you go through it, and if it's not me, I'll close it. I like that program pretty good. He closed a lot of them. I got my nose hit a lot of times. But he said, we're going to do a new program. I said, what is that? and I'm getting nervous because I like the old program. And he said, the new program is if I don't say yes, it means no. I said, what kind of a program is that? He said, if I don't say yes, that means no. Not maybe, not step your foot in, start making preparations. He said, that means no. Unless you can get me to put a yes on it, it's no. I said, are you telling everybody that? That's what I want. I read that scripture about all your brethren are going through the same thing you're going through. I said, is everybody else getting this? Because I don't want to be out here alone in this program. Because, I can see this is not going to be good at all. You know, you can't, you know, you got some really good leading. And you can't go because he's just got your nail right to the floor. You can't go. But what I did find out is when he says go, he doesn't mean, you know, debate it, have a conference, be a Reuben. You know, when they batted into war, he said, Reuben, he had great, great movements of his mind. They held a convention, see if they could go to war, missed out on the war. You know, because they had a convention, they couldn't decide. Had a democratic vote. Nobody was running things, so in the end, they waited too long. By the time they got ready to go, the war was over. Says, no. When it's time to go, go. People know, you know, a lot of you are new here. I didn't plan on coming here. I didn't plan on coming to Arkansas. Ever. And I tell people this. I saw The Grapes of Wrath. I saw that movie with Henry Fonda lots of times. And I figured this. This is what I figured. If those people left, there can't be a whole lot of anything there to be wanting to go there. So I it would have been the last place in the world. I mean, literally, I ain't preaching, I'm being truthful about this. Okay? This is the truth. I'm not preaching. Anyway, but, so we decided to go to Texas. Because, you know, they got cowboy hats and boots. And I figured that'd be great. And my daughter-in-law, who'd limited where we could live because of grandkids we were living in California, to live in Oregon, half of California only, northern half. Forget the South. Oregon, Washington, parts of Idaho, and parts of Nevada. So that's because of the grandkids, you just can't go any farther than that. So we're traveling around all these places, and every time we get to a place, one of us didn't agree. I had found the greatest place. I was ready to move in Roseburg, Oregon, and my wife wouldn't get out of the car. I'm saying, it's a nice, I'd never seen a prefab, you know, these. But it looked real nice to me. I said, well, and she wouldn't, I said, come in. She walked into her and turned around. And kind of like she did when we were in Salt Lake City and I wanted to see the Mormon Tabernacle. And I said, I want to take a look. And she said, okay. And we got about two blocks from her and she said, is that it? And I said, yeah. She said, well, we've seen it. Man, I just took a turn and right back on the freeway. Away we go. She wasn't really interested in a Mormon Tabernacle. I just want to get up and see the thing and kind of get a feeling of what that spirit is, you know? But she says, oh, yeah, we've seen it, so let's move on, kid. But anyway, and all at once I get this email from my daughter-in-law. Bless her heart. And it has this thing in Texas. Texas, I said, man, how did this get in here? Must be something that got in here, you know, because she ain't letting me go anywhere. And it was a rental place, and it was state-run, but it wasn't for welfare people. It was only for low-income people. So anyway, and it had this thing about that intrigued me about how much money. I wasn't low income. I didn't know that at the time. It was about how much money. I said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and write in and let them tell me I don't make enough money. I said, I can do that. So I did that, and I wrote back, oh, no, it's not about making it enough. You can't get in if you make too much. What kind of place is this? You know, I thought, oh, man, this is going to be the Fillmore District of San Francisco. You know, this is going to be good, you know. And then they wrote back and said, it's a state-run, actually really nice track, really nice. And you just, for low-income people that have to be working or retired, and you can't make too much money, but we made just enough money we could qualify for a one-bedroom, two-bedroom, or three-bedroom, and the top rent would be $600 a month. And, you know, that was sounding pretty good, being we were paying $1,800. And we've been paying $1,800 for a long time. We'd finally got to the point where we couldn't pay $1,800. So I thought, $600, man, they're giving this thing away. So I set them all up, and we packed up and stuck our stuff in storage. We were in a four-bedroom house, stuck it all in storage, 40 years of accumulation. Stuck it all in storage. I mean, Don knows because he went out there with me. And we only had half of it in the storage, really. Half of it we got rid of. Tried to anyway. People in California don't take too kindly to things that are free. Yeah. They just don't take free stuff, you know. I mean, they just don't. It's weird. We try to give away. Look at you like, why would I want that? It's free. They're really, they told me if you could have got that stuff back here, 10 minutes, the whole thing would have been gone. I said, I feel bad that I couldn't have brought all this stuff back. My son broke up tables and chairs. He was so mad because the Goodwill wouldn't take it because he said, unless we can walk it in the door and sell it, we cannot take it. I said, what happened to the repair stuff? He used to repair. Not anymore. So he got so mad, some more stuff going, and he busted it all up and put it in a dumpster. I said, okay. Because we'd already tried to give it away and nobody would take it. You know, anyway, so we come to Texas, and we got there on Saturday, Dallas on Saturday. This is Commerce, Texas, about 60 miles outside of Dallas. So I thought, well, Sunday, let's go spy the land. Well, I'm a good spy. So we go tropes up there, and we get up there, and the first thing I know is, ain't no sidewalks. I said, what kind of country is this? No sidewalks. I had been around no sidewalks since I was in the mountains. It's a really place with no sidewalks. And then it's on a corner, and a highway starts there. And I said, well, there's no way I'm driving to take a walk. I'm telling you that. I'm not doing that. I'm not a big walker anyway, but I'm not going to drive somewhere so I can take a walk. And then we just look, and we just couldn't get a witness between us. And Mara, one thing about Mara and myself, We always had this in common from the very beginning. If we didn't agree, we didn't do it. That was all. If we did not agree together on anything, she didn't tell me, you're the boss, do whatever. If she didn't agree, she told me. And if we didn't agree, we just didn't do it. So we just couldn't get, you know, we already had deposit, we had money in there and everything. And I said, this isn't, you know, ain't going to work. Okay, so we go out there on Monday to see it, and then we're going to see the places and all that. And I think maybe it might be better. And it didn't. So I'm telling the lady, you know, I don't think so. And she's saying, but you got your money. I said, you know, I'm thinking, man, I'd rather lose a deposit than get stuck in a year's lease and know it ain't God. Man, burn me little. I don't want to burn up. I did that once in a place, and I ended up being late with my rent for 20 years. They didn't know it, but I did, you know, because I got grabby. I got grabby and stuck a deposit on a house, and I said, well, rent will start next week. He said, oh, no, you paid today. It starts today. And it just turned out to where that day I never had the rent money. Never. 20 years. So I'd learned. I don't get burned again. So I said, no, I really keep the money, lady. Let me loose. So we're there, and now we're stuck. Now we got some glasses coming into Dallas because we're moving to Texas. I'd already picked out my cowboy hat and my boots, and I was really going to be in there and get me a truck too. I was going to be in there, and I said, what are we going to do? Well, Don and Ady used to be in our church out in California years ago, a long time ago, and they'd moved back here, and one time I just wrote them an email. I can't remember the email or what it was, and I said, you know, I was concerned about them being in Arkansas, to be the truth. Because I figure there's got to be a lot of weird people back there. They ain't got to be really. And one thing about California, if they're weird, they're big weird. You know, like, you know, the tabernacle here or the whatever it is here, you know, it's big. Hundreds and hundreds of people. Out here, I said, man, you never know. Goodness gracious. So I told him, I said, you know, and then you got these map things. You know, in California, when you see this kind of distance, you know you're talking some miles. In Arkansas, when you see this, not quite that way, but I didn't know that. So I'm looking, I'm thinking, they're up by 4 cities. That's probably 200 miles away. Man, look on my map in California. Yeah, that's a long ways away. So I thought, well, I'm going to write them and say, why don't you go down, if you get a chance, go down to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And you see, you might like it down there. I'm thinking, I'll get them in a safe place anyway. They'll be safe. That was my whole thing. They'll be safe. So they came down here and got safe. And then they got safer. And then they all got here because they all lived here. And so here we are, and I'm here we are. I said, what are we going to do now? Well, we got glasses coming in here in a few days. Why? Don't eat them. It's only 300 miles. I saw. I said, well, a piece of cake. Why don't we go up there and spend a couple of days with them until our glasses come in, and then when they come back, we'll kind of, you know, or whatever we do, we'll figure out where we're going to go. I was kind of leaning towards New Mexico or Arizona. Of course, my leanings don't really mean a lot, but I was leaning anyway. And so we came up here. We got here November the 6th, 2007, and we're here. Yeah. Every time I go onto that road out there, it was like, do I go left or do I go right? It was just, there was no straight ahead. If there had been a straight ahead, I might have just. But it was, do I go left? And I just couldn't make up my mind. I just never could get any kind of release to go anywhere. I mean, to be truthful, I mean, you know, I just never could get free at all. When we went back to get our glasses, they finally came in. We didn't even blink. We just picked them up and came right back. And then they ended up giving us a place. That really hurt us because then now we're here. Now we're in. Now we're stuck. You know, I thought we were free. See, I found out the liberty he gives you is the liberty from having to work it out for yourself, because now on the Holy Ghost is going to work it out for you. And that's your liberty. You're free to give up your freedom. Because that's exactly what he's asking you to do. And it's a choice. He don't take it from us. He will make it rather difficult not to go along, believe me, you know. You're really gonna be hurting knees and hurting other elbows and things if you don't go along. But you know, he's not gonna force you. I don't know how to say that against your will. I wonder about that. Because when I got saved, resaved, I might as well just tell this and go home. Before I met my wife, I was backslid for 12 years. I got into everything you could even think of, except religion. See, because I already knew, back in 15, I knew the real deal. And I just knew it, but I didn't even bother. And I was with people like this, with hair like this. I was a short-haired hippie because I had a good job, I made good money, and I didn't want to go to jail. And I know those people were just asking for them hairdos and all that. I said, no, I know what's going to happen there. You can get busted with short hair, but you got a better shot at least, you know. But I mean that was for real. I kept my hair short because. To be truthful, I'd already been in jail. So anyway, and I always went with short hair and good lawyers. It was pretty good. Until one day I met a federal judge who looked at my rap sheet and said, what are you doing on the street? Scared me half to death. I mean, I'd always been on this kind of wiggle my way. Everybody's, oh yeah, I'm the guy. I was out with those guys, and those guys are bad, you know. And I kind of went. This judge said, "You're the bad one. You're the guy." And then the federal people said, "Well, we've already decided to give him probation." And the judge is going, "Oh," and he said, "I'll give you 5 years suspended and 5 years probation. If I see you, you're gone." It really scared me. For the first time, I got scared because I said, "This is a judge. I ain't fooling this guy. He's for real. He is going to send me away. Well, so I was still going along like that, and then, and I'll just tell you what I did. I was in drugs and a lot of stuff. And I was working, kept a good job, had a good job, made good money, had a house by the beach in San Francisco. I was just living the life. Miserable, pretty miserable. But then I was doing drugs and more drugs, and then a close friend, my buddy, says, "Why don't we try some LSD? That'd be good, do good." I said, "Well, why not? What does that do?" Well, he says, "We'll go on a trip." I says, "Oh, I'm ready. Let's go." And I didn't realize you didn't have to move or go anywhere. You could just sit there and you're on one. And I didn't understand. It wasn't like taking a little poke or two, you know. You didn't get a little high. You went, you went right out there. And I didn't know. I didn't have a clue, you know, but I went out there. And he was an atheist. He was an atheist. It was, and so I went to the bathroom to sit down and think about things. That was just really, I didn't know where I was at. And all at once, something hit me. And this is the strangest thing. It hit me. And I thought, you know, I've had this feeling before. Man, I was really flying, too. I said, I've had this feeling. And it took me back to when I went down to the altar in 1958. I said, I experienced that same peace. I loved it. Because I was a burn artist. I mean, I burned everybody. One thing about me, I was indiscriminate. I would burn you as fast as your friends, as an enemy. It didn't make any... Because I was wanting somebody to kill me. That's why I was wanting somebody to hurt me badly. And I said, I experienced this before. Man, wow. Only with no drugs. And right away, boy, because when I left the Lord back in 58, I told him, I will find your peace in the world. I will find it there. And so I came out when I could come out, and he said, "Well, what was going on there?" I said, "Boy, let me tell you one thing, buddy. If I never believed in God, I believe in Him now." And he looked at me, and, "What planet were you on?" You know. And then the Holy Ghost began to convict me. Man, I quit taking drugs. Well, the last trip I went on, I was with this. And got this English kid going pretty good. And when we all got to where we could really talk, he says, "Do you know that you talked to me for 6 hours about Jesus Christ?" So what a bummer that is. What am I, you know? What? Yeah. He says, "Man," in his English accent, "man, you got a war going on inside of you, and you ain't going to be able to live this way very long." I said, "Yeah, I know. It's not good. It's not good at all." I mean, and then I went to Oregon. We took off for a little drive. This other close friend of mine just took off for a drive in the evening, and in my hippie van. And we woke up in the morning on the right side of the road. I said, he said, "Where are we?" I said, "Looks like Oregon to me. I don't know." And we were. So I said, "Well, why don't we just go on up?" And we're going up to my old hometown because I'm in a conviction. So we go to my old hometown, and I had to go to the old church, the old parsonage, and see the pastor. And I had to get him an argument about Berkeley and free speech because I was so convicted. I had to make him mad so I could say, "Oh, yeah, okay, I'm okay," you know. But his wife says something to me that's just, I don't know. And I'm all bombed up. And she says, "You know, they have an outfit in San Francisco. You might want to get in touch with it. They work with young people." And I thought, "Oh, yeah, a youth group." I said, "Yeah, it's called Teen Challenge." See, I don't have a clue what Teen Challenge is. I don't know. I'm thinking I'm so cool, you know. And she's thinking, "You're on drugs, guy. You need to get in touch with those people, you know." But I don't know they know. I think, you know, nobody knows. So, to make a long story short, it just got so bad, I quit taking drugs. I just quit. Man, bad. And before that, God had got me off cigarettes in 67. This would be 1970, February the 4th, when this happened. And He got me off cigarettes. I just quit. I quit when... Now, you have to know roots. You got roots, you need to find out where the roots are there, what they're about. Here was my thing. I went to my sister's running bar over in West Sacramento, and I went there in the morning to get going. And I went over and put my money in the machine, my 25 cents. You like that? Or 30 cents. No, 30 cents it was in the machine. And here, nothing happened. I said, "What's a lousy machine?" And she said, "Oh, no. Ronald Reagan is going to, introduced legislation today to put a tax on them. So they've already come in and changed all the machines to 40 cents. A pack, I says. He says, yeah. I said, that's it. I'm done. That is it. It's no longer economically feasible to smoke these things. And I just quit. It was economics. I said, man, I can't afford 40 cents a pack. Are you kidding? No, thank you. And I quit. And then, you know, then I got off alcohol too. Because I used to drink alcohol by the hour. I mean, it gets down to why you're doing it. I socialize. I'm a social kind of guy. And I socialize a lot. And I get blasted and just drink. It didn't make any difference to me. You know, and I quit that because it got to where being hungover and taking Excedrin all the time was just not a lot of fun. So I just quit it, you know. I just gave it up. So he got rid of it. The thing is, he got rid of these things while I was still in the world. Things that could have really been a stumbling block if I had still been doing all this stuff, you know. So one evening, I'm so convicted. I'm tore up. I don't know what to do. But I figured, I got to find a church. I don't know any Christians. I don't know anybody's a Christian. I got to find a church. So I asked my boss if I could get off one evening early. And he looked around with any bitch. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to call Teen Challenge and ask them if they can suggest a church. I don't know. There's some with Assemblies of God. So I said, okay. So I call them. Oh, yeah, sure. Listen, we're having our meeting tonight. Why don't you just come on out? So I went home and got the only sport jacket I had and slacks that wasn't stolen. Actually, I didn't steal them. I wasn't that kind of a thief. But I bought a lot of stuff in the pool room because a lot of stuff kind of came through. And, you know, you get a lot of stuff there. Rolexes. I mean, you could really do well in there. I lost my Rolex. That got stolen from me, but it's good because I didn't get rid of it because it was stolen anyway. So some other hippie got me for that at the beach. But I was cool. Instead of a nice band they had, I took it off with a leather band because I'm a hippie. Crazy, you know. But anyway, so I go out there. Now, I don't know anything about this place. Nothing. So I sit down, and there's families. They're all families there. I'm just sitting there. This is out in South Van Ness, in San Francisco. And I'm just sitting there, and having a meeting. This young man gets up. Yeah, you know, I was a heroin addict for 14 years, and then Jesus saved me. I think, well, that's cool. Cool, yeah, that's cool. Now come get up. I was on this for 10 years. And cool. Third one, I said, what kind of a place is this? I'm thinking, man, there's a bunch of drunkards here. I said, because I didn't know. I didn't know it was them and their families. I thought, this is the last. And that's the place I need to be, around a bunch of drug addicts, for crying out loud. I just, you know, I'm trying to find a church, you know, and here I'm in this thing. And so the meeting went on, and I was bewildered. I mean, I said, what in the world is this place? Teen Challenge, give me a break. Anyway, and then it's all over, and they're all just congregating. And I'm sitting there on my chair, and I'm minding my, now, when you get to know me, you know, I do this, I'm minding my own business. Usually when God speaks to me in prayer, I'm minding my own business. And then he gets in my business. And he does his business on me. He just gets me. But so I'm sitting around minding my own business, just relaxing, getting ready to go, figuring out how I'm going to get out of here. And the Lord spoke to me. Just like I'm just sitting there. And he says this to me. He says, 12 years ago, you left me and you told me you would find my peace in the world. And I'm like, now I'm frozen. I'm like, you know, because I know this is not going to be good. And then he says, for 6 months, and that's the first time, that's how long I've been doing LSD, as much as I could. Anyway, he says, for 6 months, you've known that my peace is not in the world. Because that LSD, I came right to the end of it. I said, chemicals ain't, you know, that ain't the answer, that's for sure. He says, so now I'm telling you, asking you to follow me? I don't know if you told me, ask me or tell me. No, he's asking me. And I'm just like, I can't even move. And he says, you know, he's got a way of sneaking up my, you know, I like these choices he gives you. Now, I'll give you a choice. He says, you don't have to. He said, I'm not going to kill you. Right here on the spot. Because I figured that could happen. He says, and I had a van, all outfitted, beds, stoves, and all kinds of stuff in it. Anyway, he says, you know, you can get up out of here, you go out and get in your van, drive off down the road. He said, I'm not going to kill you. You live to your ripe old age. But I will never speak to you again. Good gravy. I said, what kind of a choice is that? You know, because I always had my deathbed, you know, my 5-minute deathbed confession. Give me 5 minutes. Jesus, forgive me my sins. Let me take me to heaven. That was my whole program. In the end, I want to go to heaven. I mean, let's face it, I don't go to hell. Yeah, and I said, I'm thinking, what kind of a choice is that? That's really no choice. And I found out lots of times that's pretty much where it gets down to. If your heart, you know, if your heart is there for him, there pretty much isn't any choice. Because your heart's going to pull you. And even though I was not happy. But I said, okay, well, all right. Because there ain't no choice here. So I just got down on my knees in a little chair. And I said, all right, Lord. I ask you to forgive me my... I mean, cold off. You know, forgive me my sins. You know, I've done 30 years of this thing and it ain't working out too good. And I ain't ready to live another 30 like this. So I just give you my life. You can have it. Do whatever you want to. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, goodbye. You know, I got up. And I was different. Now, I'm telling you, I had no feeling, but I knew I was different because when my thoughts weren't saying it, you know, those words, because I was pretty good at those words. And I was indiscriminate with those, so I cussed in front of everybody. I did it to get people away from me, you know. I just want everybody to hate me. And I knew that. So I go over to this young man, and I says, you know, I just got saved. Oh yeah, well, we'll get you in the program. What program? Right in, oh, you move right in here. Move right in here. Why? You take drugs? Yeah, of course. The drug. Doesn't everybody take drugs? I didn't know anybody that didn't. Everybody I knew was taking drugs. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh no, we'll get you. I said, no, you know, I don't think so. I got a job. I'm okay. What, do you have drugs in your house? Sure, right. What do you mean, do I have drugs in my house? Of course I have drugs in my house. So I live. Well, we'll send somebody over. I said, no, you don't have to do that. I can do it. And I just went home, flushed stuff down the toilet and I still was not real happy. I still was not real thrilled about this program because I just felt like I didn't get any choice. And then in the morning I thought, well, I better pray. You know, you're a Christian now. You better pray. So I got down there and I started praying all at once. Heaven just came down and smothered me. I mean, just laid me out with so much love I couldn't deal with it. I thought I was dying. Just overwhelmed me with it. And then that was over and I was fine. I went to my closet and he just stood right there and he says, all those clothes have to go. Even the ones that weren't stolen? He says, yes, because all those are signs of your rebellion. Everything in there says something. You know, everything in there is making a statement. You were in everybody's face all the time. I was the only guy in town. Listen, among these people, they were kind of yellow-orange leathers. The whole thing, the jacket and the whole thing, bell bottoms on it. Not black, orange. I thought it was pretty cool myself. I liked them. Nobody else, I mean, I glowed. You know, talk about never seeing you in a dark alley. I'm like this. But he says, they're all signs of your rebellion. Your boots, those bell bottoms, you know, they're all signs. You can't get them. So I had this guy across the hall named Turtle. Well, we called him Turtle. He was a booster. His thing was he liked Mercedes real well. He'd break into Mercedes, steal the stereo. They liked to lock him back up so they couldn't tell how he got in. He loved that. They go, how are they going to figure out how I did this? And so I got all my clothes. I knock on his door. Over Turtle here, and I threw all the clothes on him. I can't have these anymore. And he looked at me like, what kind of drugs are you on this morning? But I couldn't have them. I had to go buy something to go to church. I didn't have anything to go to church with. I had nothing left. Levi's and weren't bells. I'm saying that to say, he will apprehend you where you are. He will find you. If your heart is there, listen, we're not going to follow our minds. We're going to follow our hearts. Our minds can, you know, how many people fall in love with people they shouldn't fall in love with? In their head, they know this is not good. And their heart just goes right out there and just connect. My sister blamed herself for my grandmother's death. It wasn't her fault. And she died of pneumonia in a hospital for crying out. But she blamed herself. And because of that, she sought abusive men out. Like a heat-seeking missile. I mean, if there was one in 500, she would get him because she was trying to punish herself. Although she never admitted it. But she was trying to punish herself for killing her grandmother all her life, for years. I mean, for a long, long time. It's where your heart is. That's why I said we sing that song, Change My Heart. Change it. Change it. Do something inside my heart. Because I'm going to go where my heart goes. I ain't going to go where my head goes. My heart is going to take me. And we need a change in our heart. In that morning time, He changed my heart. I got up off my knees. I was different. I was different the night before because there was a contract that was done, and that was it. It was an eternal contract. It was done. And no matter how I felt or not, it didn't make any difference. You know, He changed me. And He used to say, you know, oh, you turned over a new leaf. I said, I didn't turn over nothing. I'm telling you, I said, He changed me. That's all. My family, you know, it got to the point that they'd rather have me on drugs and everything else than the way I was. I mean, literally. Oh, man, at least you go to a pool with us and drink beer. Now we came and I talk to you, you know, that Jesus stuff, you know. And if you're not, you're being polite. You're condescending, being polite. And it was bad because I was the oldest, too. And my younger brother said, there's many paths to God. Oh, many paths. And then he calls me last week and talked about my sister. And I said, well, how are you doing up there? Oh, we're doing okay. And I thought, ooh, he's always telling me, wow, it's great. You know. And I kind of waited. And he said, well, not really great. And so I waited some more. And he says, actually, I'm in a real deep depression right now. You know, I've been battling this on and off all my life. You have? I never knew it at all. Been on meds all since adult life. And he said, but we're going to have some dealings with that. But I thought, you know, it's your heart. I don't know if I ever didn't believe that Jesus was Son of God. I don't know if I ever didn't believe that. It never debated more in my heart about that. No matter how he's living, you know, I knew that he was the Son of God. I knew that there was only forgiveness of sins for him in my heart. In my head, my head was going, I was telling Kevin, there was a song by Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and it said something about, and when I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born to carry on. And I love that song. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I'm just really going to be a guy. That's in my drug days. Oh, this sounds wonderful. No cross, no pain, no trouble. There's going to be one child going to take over for me. Oh, it sounds so good. Yeah, what a bunch of nonsense, you know. But I was looking for it because I was running. You know, when you're running away from God, you'll grab a hold of anything. When you're running to Him sometimes, you know, you'll grab a hold of things you shouldn't do. I'm going to leave you with this because I need you here at 6 in the morning. Hunger's good, but starvation's not. You get to where you're starving, let me tell you, you're subject to eat stuff, take a hold of stuff you would never take a hold of in your sanest days. Now, there's a way to keep from starving. Start getting some food. Start developing this. Start spending time with Him. Listen, you don't... To get His prayer sometime, we have to stop praying. You know that? He said, I ain't going to compete with you. You want to pray in tongues 4 hours? Help yourself. You know, we used to have this thing, oh, well, church is going to be over at noon. He said, good, I'll show up at 12:15. I mean, I just see that written all over. Yeah, you're quitting. Well, I'll be there 15 minutes later. I'll be coming down there. You know, we're not doing it on your timetable. We're not doing your program anymore. You want to get into it? Get in with me. Listen, He's got you chosen for this time. Or you wouldn't be here. I'm not talking about here. You wouldn't be. And all those bad experiences and things that you know, say, oh man, my childhood was terrible. I said, listen, if it hadn't been for all that stuff, you might never got saved. I look at mine, I'm telling you, if I hadn't gone through all that garbage, and it was garbage, I'd went through, if I'd have had a good job, if I'd have got into college and got money, then who needs God? Yeah, I'd have been on the board of some Methodist church, pardon the expression. But anyway, you know, I mean, that would have happened. Because I'd have become a religious man. If I did anything, besides play golf or something, I'd become religious. Like so many. You know, because I have it all. It's when I got to where I had everything I wanted at one time. I had everything I'd ever dreamed for. I could do what I want to. I had enough money to do whatever I want to. Didn't worry about anything. It wasn't a lot of money, folks. But I mean, for me, it was just fine. I didn't have big plans. But the emptiness. Because once I took that LSD and started loving people that I knew for years started burning me. Everybody that I was, they started doing bad things to me. And I said, what is going on here? I'm being a good guy now, and you guys are all getting me. They stole all my dope. They just did bad things to me. I had a big house at the beach. I had these four guys who were close friends of mine. I rented them a room. I went so far as to put a king-size mattress in there for them. That was all the furniture was there. But, I mean, that was it, you know. I charged them $20 a week total together for that place. And then I had my kilo of grass, and they stole it. One of them did. And I'm saying, what is going on here? I'm a good guy now. You know, God just let everything fall apart. He didn't make it happen. He just let it happen. He let them finally be who they were with me when I was an available victim. How about that? Before I was a barracuda. I was no victim. Believe me. I looked for victims. I was not a victim. But when I became of it, that, man, all these people come out of the woodwork that have been my buddies and just started hacking me and getting me. And I said, my goodness, this is wrong. And they weren't open to the gospel when I got saved either. Not one of them were open to the gospel. Not one of them. Not one of them at all. But Jesus says, follow me. That's what he told me. Follow me. You know, he's the sum total of everything. Man, you can't add anything to him. You know why? He didn't just fulfill everything. He is the fulfillment. The fulfillment is a person. The truth is not knowing this. The truth is a person. He's a person. He wants to take each one of us into himself. I mean, literally. He wants to be so related to us to where we don't worry about what's going to happen. Now, we're worrying now. I am. I mean, my God, look at what's going on. I said, man, this is going to get really fierce. And I hear people, hallelujah, I can hardly wait. I said, well, I can wait. I'll tell you that. Because I don't know. I said, let me tell you, you can't tell me what you're going to do out here until you get out here. Because I've been some spots and said some things and got out there. It was not that way when I got out there. You know, I'm the baddest guy in the block till I run the guy, you know, bigger and badder, and then I ain't the baddest guy. And when you get in a real situation, you don't ever know. So I pray, Lord, prepare me. Not my head, and my heart. Prepare my heart for what's coming so that no matter how bad it looks and how bad it's going, my heart's going to be solidly stuck with you. Because where my heart is, I am going to go. I'm going to go with my heart. So change my heart. Do a work in my heart. Do whatever you have to do. Lord, I know I'm singing these songs, I surrender all, and then you come by and I ain't finding I'm not too surrendered. And then you say, well, you know, you told me you surrendered all. And I said, when was that? Why didn't you hear yourself? I surrender all. She said it. He said, well, I was just singing a song. Yeah, huh? To me, right? You were telling me. So he said, you better be careful what you sing. Doesn't make any difference. When you're feeling in the glory, you sing those songs. And I'll close with this line. Bob Mumford said this. I don't know if some of you know him, some of you don't. He said this, God asks for you, from you, in wartime, what you promise him in peace. Think about that. When at hard times out there, he asks you for what you promised him, you were in the glory. Just take everything I have, God. Just take it all. And we get out there, wait a minute, they're trying to use me. You told me, you're all mine. It doesn't make any difference. When did I say that? Right back. I was just singing. Are you singing to me? Lord, just thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share my heart and just with these precious people, Lord, with these precious saints, Lord God, you're going to use each one. You've got a ministry, well, that's a big word. You've got a life. You've got a purpose. You spoke to me one time, just a while back, and I was concerned about this one. I said, you know, I got a will and you're in it. So just live with it. And I thought, boy, that's nice to know. You got a will and you got a program for this last days and I'm in it. Then quit worrying about what it's all about. Because if I'm in it, you'll take care of me. Each one of these here, Lord, you got a program and they're in it. They are in it. They're not looking to get it. They are in it whether they know they're in it or not. They are in it. Take a hold of them. Apprehend in their hearts, Lord. In deeper ways. Take them to deeper places than they've ever imagined, Lord. Secure them in ways they never believed possible, Lord. Cause them to be the church, Lord, that you said you'd have when you came. Do that work, Lord. We'll be so grateful. We just love you, Jesus. We just love you and praise you. In your name, amen. And we're here for prayer. If you need prayer, if not, you're dismissed. See you at 6 in the morning. I'm going to be here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.